I'm with Elaine Ayagata, and she is telling us about her story. I was the shy one. And Elaine, you tell us that Ada didn't have a great relationship with her father, but that she found love and validation from someone else. Why don't you tell us about that?
You know, it's definitely a foreign concept for me personally, because my father was like Superman. He was amazing. He was hyper extroverted. He was amazing in sports. He was there wasn't anything he wasn't amazing at. He was a great communicator. To have someone that's your biological father be an absentee person or somebody that is closed and, I don't know. My term for it is emotionally emaciated. I made that up. That's not anything I can relate to. However, I did know my great grandfather, and these people are my grandfather George, his sister Ada, and her father. He was a very cold guy. He was emotionally emaciated. He was very closed, very antisocial. Even when he spoke, it was harsh. It was the least amount of words he could legally say to communicate, and he didn't mind if he offended you. So he was a unique person. I still remember him. He was incredibly elderly when I was young, and he just explained to me one time when I was trying to befriend him that he didn't like kids. So I mean, wow, hey, there's no misinterpreting that. So I mean, but this is Ada's father, and so this what this is. This is what's inputting in her childhood. So when she got very sick and she should have died, and her family goes back to Europe to get better paying jobs and migrate back to America to, try to make it again. And this is her story as told to me. He was just had the personality of a telephone pole. That comes to mind. Just he was tall, and just that was it. And so I'm trying to imagine having a father like that. And it did affect Ada. So when she got sick, and here's this doctor, oddly enough, he couldn't have kids. And it was something that ended up breaking his marriage. It's amazing how this plays out. And Ada is his patient, destined to die. She gets a miracle and lives. He's never seen a miracle, so he's astonished anyway. But there's an organic connection between these two. Not because she's the first miracle he's ever seen, but there was just something there anyway, platonic and beautiful. And he was the first male, okay, that validated her, that told her supporting things, that told her uplifting things, that told her about her beauty, that told her about positivity, bought her a book on shyness and being brave, and believed in her. She really met somebody that believed in her. She's got siblings, but I mean, this is the first male role model that she encounters because her father is just frankly detrimental. And I'm not so convinced that he wasn't even that relationship wasn't entirely responsible for her for being debilitatingly shy. She just didn't have that parenting. So 50% of the parenting just wasn't there. And my great grandmother was a little bit of a cool person. I don't mean like hip. I mean like she wasn't a real chatty Cathy, extroverted. She was better than him, but not incredibly, not by incredible amounts. So this is what Ada's growing up in, and these are the people that are contributing to her being who she is. And then she meets this doctor in a situation where she should have died. And the doctor knows it, and she knows it, and the whole nursing staff knows it. And so all of a sudden, she's got the adoration of these people. They're astonished by what they're seeing because she's literally a living miracle of which they've never seen before as a staff in the hospital. Not a lot of people came out of the death ward. Usually, that body was, burned, and the ashes were sent to the family. Not to be graphic, but that's 1912, and that's what happened. You're in a death quarantine. It doesn't happen, and the family gets the ashes if they want them. So this is what these guys are doing, 40 hours a week for work. And all of a sudden, Ada, like a phoenix, rises from, was slated to be ashes. And it's a powerful story because here's this doctor that not only is on the other end of, physically participating and, saving her life, but it really was a miracle. So now she's in a regular room, and the nursing staff is just, she's the belle of the ball, and they're all making a big deal of her, and they all chip in and buy her clothing, and things that she needs to get ready to get on this big boat and reunite with her family in Europe. And it's powerful because the relationship that she naturally has with this doctor, them talking with each other, explaining things, and the ride down to New York to put her on the Carpathia. She gets to know a side of him that she never even knows in the hospital. And not in a bad way, not in a bad way, in a great organic platonic way. The love that these two have for each other is, and their relationship, the texture of their relationship, the whole fabric of it is a really beautiful weave, and it naturally just fits together. The conversations they have and the heartbreak that he explains to her, that his marriage broke because he couldn't have kids and he always wanted a daughter. And this, and your father is such a lucky guy to have a daughter like you. Does he know how lucky he is? And it's amazing. I get to share you for a little bit of time. This is exactly what I always wanted. So that's his end of it, plus the medical miracle, professionally. But, on her end of it, she's like, wow, this is what a real guy is supposed to be like. This is what a real father figure is supposed to be like. And that's really a nice factor of it too. It's a nice piece of it. And it was cool to have her explain it to me, because she went in depth on how knowing him, even for a limited amount of time, really changed the trajectory of who she became. Again, I think it made for fertile soil for the seeds of shyness, for the seeds of bravery to start growing. She starts to blossom as a different human being because of her interaction with him, because of their communication back and forth with each other, because of their amazing love they have for each other as they're driving to the boat. This beautiful friendship forms, and he's putting her on the boat, and he gives her a little book about bravery, and he literally says, maybe one day they'll write a book about you. And that was just like, an aha moment. Here I am writing my aunt's man, the manuscript, her story as told to me. And it's literally, a beautiful manuscript. And he's amazingly saying this in 1912, maybe someday someone will write a book about you.
Right.
So again, he's contributing to her overcoming her shyness. And she's finding love in a beautiful way from somebody other than her father, that would have made a phenomenal father. So it's a really beautiful thing to look at, how it organically grows, how it matures. And again, it contributes to the gripping scene when he's leaving the boat and she's alone on the boat because she doesn't want to let go of this most beautiful thing she's never even had before. From this guy that worked in a hospital in a death ward, that really just never saw nothing but tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. So that's a very cool part of the story. It's a very cool part of the story. And for the first time in her life, she gets a male role model that really makes her realize how diminished her father really is and what she's lacking in having the father that she has. But it imparts lifelong amazing things into who she is that make her become the woman she is, and then the adult that she is. She still talked about him, to me every single time, and with an endearing tone, a certain kind of look in her face, and of just gratitude that he really changed the course of her life by just being himself at that particular time in her life. When she frankly needed it most, he was there, just guy that would have normally been a stranger. So it's really cool, really cool set of circumstances and outcome.
Wow, what a heartwarming story. And I think a lot of women will identify with that. I'm sure there are a lot of girls and young women who, maybe don't have a great relationship with their father. And so I think they'll get a lot out of this story.
It's amazing because, a father, a daddy complex is an actual term. There's a lot of there's women that spend, their adult life, with counselors trying to undo, that aspect of their childhood because the father was just not a great guy. And that's a just a big source to be around while you're a young thing developing. It's a big influence that you, in a not a great way, that you that becomes part of you, like how do you unpoison that well? And you do that through counseling. And it's really cool to see Ada's story. Literally, you can read how it, gets changed, by this amazing doctor, and changes the trajectory of her opinion of men. And it's wonderful. Look, when I remember when I was, raising my daughter, I said, you know what? I've got girlfriends. Okay. They're not my biological sister, but you are required to call them auntie because it doesn't matter what the title is. It matters that the source is they will give you love like a sister, and they are sisters to me. And it's the same thing with Ada. He wasn't her father, but he gave her, he gave her the love of a father for a short amount of time that she grabbed, kept, and changed her. And started the great change momentum that the Titanic and everything finished. I mean, that was the beginning of the shyness being wiped out by just this amazing guy. I don't know if he ever knew. I just don't even know if he ever knew the powerful part of that he had. It was a simple ride to New York, but it was hardly anything but simple. It was profound and honestly life-changing for my aunt.
Well, I'm glad she had that experience. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.